After wishing everyone a Boker Tov, let's just review the Gemara that we started yesterday, which is on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph in Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Hey Amud Beis had already established that Kol Hamakalkalin Peturim, that any malacha that you do that is destructive does not generate, is not a valid malacha to generate a chiyuv malacha. Okay then? And kol hamakalkal peturim. And we pointed out that the language of the Mishnah, the extra word kol for emphasis, indicates that there is no exception to the rule. Now we start the sugya daf kuf vav, and Rabbi Avo brings a brisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan. The brisa says, "Kol makalkel and peturim chutz." That we have certain cases or certain malachas that are makalkel and yet yochayev. Chutz means the exception to the rule. So instead of being potter in these cases, yochayev, even though it's makalkel. And what are those two cases? Chutz mi chovel umavir. These are two malachas of the 39 malachas, which Yechayev, according to this brisa of Rabbi Avo, despite the fact that it's makalkel. One is chovel, where you injure someone, you wound someone or an animal, and to the extent to which you draw blood. And the second one is mavir, where you burn something down. And this brisa of Rabbi Avo is a problem on two levels. On a conceptual level, because we find it hard to believe that you could be chayev on Shabbos for a makalkel. That itself needs explanation. Because, as a matter of fact, the Gemara establishes elsewhere, and if you want to make a note of it, it's in Masechta Chagiga on Daf Yudam and Beis, that makalkel is a chisaron, is deficient in Meleches Machsheves. And Meleches Machsheves is the requirement that defines the essence of Malach. So on one level, I don't understand how Chovel and Mavir could be exceptions to the rule, and you could be chayv even though you're Makalkel. That's number one on a conceptual level. Number two, on a textual level, the Mishnah had already established that Kol HaMakalkel and Peturim, without any exception. Which means that this brisa of Rabbi Avo seems to contradict our Mishnah. That's not the first time we found the brisa that contradicts a Mishnah. It seems to be quite consistent. You know, that's the Gemara. The Gemara has this scenario over and over again. And when Rabbi Yochanan heard about this brisa, whether he was upset on a conceptual level or on a textual level in terms of the contradiction to that Mishnah, I can't tell you one way or the other, but Amalei, he said to him, "Poke Tani Livra, take this brisa and teach it outside the base medrash. Don't teach it inside the base medrash. This is not a valid brisa."
Oh.
Okay, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Avo. Chovel umavir eino Mishnah. You cannot have a teaching that would establish that in the cases of chovel umavir, you would be chayav even though it's what? Even though it's makalkel. But then, as we said yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan sort of softens his position a little bit, takes a step back, and he says, "V'yimtim tzolomar Mishnah." And if you do want to learn this brisa, then don't learn it the way Rabbi Avo learned it, that these are two malachas for which you're chayev even in the case of makalkel, which I call pure makalkel, but rather chovel b'tzarech lekalbo, mavir b'tzarech liofro. There are cases where in chovel it's not a pure makalkel, there's an element of tikkun. Tikkun means there's an element of benefit that I get from it. It's not just destructive. I need the blood to feed my dog. I need the ashes to heat up my eggs or whatever it might be. Okay. Now, Shalom Aleichem. Now we have a Rashi over here. That Rashi says that we're talking about a very sensitive a very sensitive twilight zone, shall I say, that's not black and not white, it's somewhere in that gray area. And I'm referring to Rashi that we saw yesterday, Dibra Maskel Bit Sarich, which is about how many lines down from the top of the page? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About 10 lines down from the top of the page. Bit Sarich Ledam Hayotzi Min Achabola Lekalbo. Rashi says he needs the dam. The im mekalkil who eats al nechbal, even though the victim of his wound is certainly al mekalkil, he's destroyed, right? It's a destructive action. But nevertheless, mesakin who eats al akelev. But as far as the kelev is concerned, this wound turns out to be beneficial because through this wound he was able to collect the dam and feed the kelev. So Rashi has this twilight zone that I call a very ambiguous case, which on the one hand Rashi calls Mekalkil, so he's willing to categorize it as Mekalkil, but on the other hand, Rashi says that it does have a constructive purpose to it, and it's Mesaken Eitzel HaKelev. And Rashi seems to be operating, as we said yesterday, with this kind of theory of relativity, that relative to the Nechbal, to the victim, it's Mekalkil, but relative to the Kelev that's being fed, it's Metaken. So that needs analysis. But perhaps the most important thing about Rashi for our learning today is a little bit above, is a little bit earlier on the page. Rashi wants to understand the Braisa as it's quoted by Rabbi Avo. As the Braisa is quoted by Rabbi Avo, we have two melochos, Chovel and Mavir, which you're chayav for even though it's what? Mekalkel. So Rashi says, three lines down from the top, Chutz mi chovel bi adam. Okay, Rashi for some reason doesn't talk about chavola bi behema, he talks about chavola bi adam. So a man was assaulted, a human being was assaulted. The mekalkel hu. In other words, before he was assaulted, before somebody wounded him, you know, gave him a box, as they say here in Israel, he was in perfect shape. He was a healthy specimen. You know, now he's limping around a little bit. You know, he got hit in his leg, you know. So that's called Mekalkel. And then we have the Brice of Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo says with regard to Chovel, even though it's Mekalkel, nevertheless, what's the din? Yechayev, correct? So Rashi adds the word V'chayev.
Wait, what is that?
This is the second, third line from the top.
That's not, you mean the Gemara.
Third line from the top. Tzvi, do you have another copy by chance of the Gemara itself? Yes. If you have, we give one to Harvey here. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're going to get a copy of this, Amir Tzashem, believe me. Is there anyone else that needs a copy of the Gemara itself? Just raise your hand so once Tzvi is making the effort, he can. Okay? So if you take a look three lines from the top, Rashi says, V'chayev. Wonderful. If Rashi had stopped here, you know, in where I come from, maybe in all Anglo-Saxon countries, I don't know. I never know where the phrases come from. We have a phrase that, quit while you're ahead. Do you have that, Harvey, in England too? Like, quit while you're ahead. Okay, we probably got it from the Brits. Okay, quit while you're ahead. Now Rashi should, whenever we learn Rashi, we always have two rules in the back pocket. Number one is, what was bothering Rashi? Rashi's always coming to answer a question. And number two, quit while you're ahead. Why does Rashi add, once he solves the problem, why does he add anything more? And this is a classical Rashi, in which we wonder why Rashi had to add more than what he already said. Rashi has already explained to us that Chovel is a Mekalkel. Here you go, Avi. Okay. So we're three lines down from the top in Rashi. Okay, chutz mi chovel. So Rashi's already told us that chovel, when he wounds a person, that's called a mekalkel, and nevertheless yechayev. So Rashi could have been silent at this point. But now Rashi throws around his bekiyus, as I say. You know, in Yiddish we say varft bekiyus. That means, you know, when I want to impress you that I know a lot, so I tell, oh, there's gemara here, there's gemara there, you know. So he starts varfing the keys. This nan, we have a Mishnah in Masechet Bava Kama. And the Mishnah says, HaChovel b'chavero b'shabes potu milshalem. If a person wounds his friend on Shabbos, and what malach has he now implemented on Shabbos? Chovel, correct. The Mishnah says, Potter Milashalim, he doesn't have to pay the normal compensation of damages for Chavola. And why? Mipnation Nidon Benafsho. Because he will be judged and condemned for death. It's a capital crime. What capital crime is he guilty of?
Shabbos.
Correct, Melech Shabbos. Anybody remember what punishment you get for Melech Shabbos? Skila. I mean, it's a pretty heavy thing. Now, I don't know how many rocks you throw on a guy for skila. That's tomorrow's daf yomi. Okay, if you learn Sanhedrin, you know, is one stone enough? Or, you know, who owns the stone? It's a very complicated business how to do skila. But Rashi quotes this Mishnah. Now I just want to throw in one more Rashi and see the whole picture here. Umavir, again, Rashi is going to tell us what we need to know and then go ahead and tell us what we apparently don't need to know, but I guess we do need to know, but I don't know why. Rashi says, Mavir is HaGodish. Godish is any sort of collection of hay or straw. So he burnt down a haystack. Makalkilu. Rashi says that would be a classical example of makalkil, v'chayev. And once again, I would put the period here and say, quit while you're ahead. But Rashi goes on and tells me, kidisnan, and again he throws out another bekiyas here, another Mishnah, in Masech de Bava Kama, v'hu shehidlik es hagodish potter minatashlumin. The Mishnah is talking about a case of someone who burns down his neighbor's haystack on Shabbos, and that would be a case of Adam Amazik, which means that he would have to pay damages. Here the Mishnah says he's alleviated from any responsibility to pay damages, but they should need on Benafsha once again, because he's violated the Shabbos, in this case with Meleches Mavir, and therefore he is potter from Tashlum.
Because he's already been chanced more severely.
Correct. And that's the principle that we're going to get to today, called Kimlei B'Drabminei. Okay then?
This is a good time for a question?
Sure, excellent time for a question.
I was just baffled by this Rashi. It's an amazing principle. It's a good principle. We see it all over Shas. But this has nothing to do with the Malacha.
Oh, so what does Rashi apparently want to prove from these two Mishnayos of Kimlei B'Drabminei?
That there really was an instance that Rabbi Avo could point to.
A source that he could point to. And what are these two sources, these two Mishnayos, prove?
Oh.
What do they establish, without a shadow of a doubt?
He wasn't there with Rabbi Avo.
No, I need five words, Rabbi Osei. No, no long sentences here, sorry.
Mekalkel,
Bechovel, Ubemavir, Chayev. That's all I need. Mekalkel, Bechovel, Ubemavir, four words I need.
Bechayev for different reasons.
What do you mean? For the same reason. Why is he chayev, Rabbi Osei?
For a pure Mekalkel.
Because he violated Shabbos, Shabbat. Okay, I'll give you Shabbat if you like Shabbat. But I can't promise you I'm always going to say Shabbat. All right? So Ben, do you understand what Rashi's doing for us here? You know, when you meet up with this confrontation, so to speak, between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan, you get the impression that Rabbi Yochanan has the upper hand over here, both on a conceptual level and in terms of Mishnaic literature, on a textual level. First, on a conceptual level, how in the world are you going to tell me that for these two malachas, Yechayev, when it's Mekalkel, that undermines our very essential definition of what a malach is all about? Secondly, on a textual level, the Mishnah says, Kol HaMekalkel Pturin. So why are you draining my cup here and telling me that in two cases out of the 39, meaning Mavir and Chovel, you're Chayev, even though, despite the fact that it's Mekalkel? So at this point, if you'd ask me, you know, if I was the referee here, and you know, calling, you know, I have to decide who gets the TKO here. You know, it seems to me that Rabbi Yochanan has really knocked Rabbi Avo out of the box, and it's impossible to maintain this position that in Chovil and Mavir, these two malachs, Yechayev as a Mekalkel. But guess what, says Rashi? I have two other Mishnayos that support Rabbi Avo against Rabbi Yochanan. Don't be quick to the draw and decide that you want to vote in favor of Rabbi Yochanan in this poll. But at this point, if I were to take a poll, I think I'd have to vote in favor of Rabbi Avo and his Braisa, because I see there are two cases of malacha which Yechayev, despite the fact that it's Mekalkel, and that's Chovil and Mavir, and therefore the Gemara says that if I burn down your haystack on Shabbos, I'm chayev for Melech Shabbos, even though it's a pure what? Rabbi Osei. Mekalkel. Or if I beat the living daylights out of you on Shabbos, son, you want to now sue me for assault and battery, you know, for Nezek Tzari, for Shabbos, I don't have to pay you because I'm Chayv Misa. I'm Chayv Misa, right? That's great. But why am I Chayv Misa from Aleches Chovel? It's not my size. I see from this that from Aleches Chovel, even though it's a Mekalkel, he's not feeding his dog, he's feeding his dog. He's Chayv. So Ben, I think Rashi has really done us a very, very, serious service here. We should tip our hats, and certainly Rabbi Avoh, if he was here, we'd have to tip his hat to Rashi. Because Rabbi Avoh doesn't even bother quoting these Mishnayos. So that what Rashi is giving us is a fantastic insight into the Brisa of Rabbi Avoh, the way we have that Brisa. And let Rabbi Yochanan figure out what he's going to do with those Mishnayos. And that's what we're going to have the Tosfos read. The Tosfos read here, which I want to study with you today, Emirat Hashem, is going to introduce some sort of a counter argument to defend Rabbi Yochanan in the light of these two Mishnayos, both of which assume that you're chayav for a mekalkel, one in the case of Chovel and the other in the case of Mavir. So without any further ado, I would suggest that we open up the Tosfos Rid.
Is there an extra copy?
See, that responsibility is hard for me to take on, you know, because yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll make you a great deal, Manny. I'm going to give you my copy because I know it by heart. Just joking. What? Oh, great. Tzvi, you came in the clutch. Tzvi, I'm telling you, we all our hakaras hatov to Ben and Tzvi and everybody else. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
So please.
Echoing what the Rav said yesterday, like, so why dafka these two malachot? I could take other destructive acts.
Right. Again, conceptually, we don't know how in the world, how in heaven tarnation you can be chayef for meleches kilkul, and if you are chayef for meleches kilkul, why do you isolate these two malachas? Okay. So I'm hoping that we'll get to that today. It all depends on the clock, which is always my worst enemy. Alright. Now, let me give a little bit of an introduction, if I can, to this Tosfos Rit. He points out, and then we'll read some of this inside. It's a very long piece. I don't know if we'll read it all inside. That Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that in this case of Chovel and Mavir, we should apply a rule called Halacha Kestam Mishnah. Okay, then? Let me just write that down. Because if you don't know it, it's going to come up all over the place on every other page in Shas. That's called Halacha Kestam Mishnah. Can anybody tell me what that means, Halacha Kestam Mishnah? What's a Stam Mishnah? Okay, now my spelling here might leave something to be desired. A second.
A Stam Mishnah is a plain Mishnah.
Right, but what does it mean it's plain?
No comments.
Not that there's no comments, but there's no what?
No machlokes.
I can't hear you?
No author.
No author.
Okay.
Another fancy word for that in English, when you don't have an author?
Anonymous.
Anonymous, okay. Now, let's see.
A-N-O-N.
A-N-O-N. Wait a minute, I messed up already.
A-N-O-N.
N. A-N-O-N.
Y. Y-E-M-O-S.
M-O-U-S,
I think.
Oh, okay, an anonymous Mishnah. So we never know when we learn a Mishnah whether we passing like this opinion or like that opinion, with the exception of a Stam Mishnah, which means that when Rav Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnayis and he wanted to convey the message that we have a definite tradition as far as Halacha is concerned, so he left out the name. That's called Halacha Kestam Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah here in Shabbos Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis is a classical case of a Stam Mishnah, because the Mishnah says Kol Hamakalkalin Pturin. It doesn't say Divrei so and so. So the Rabbi Yochanan assumes, therefore, that in the case of Kol Hamakalkalin Pturin, we have to accept the Mishnah that Kol Hamakalkalin Pturin. Okay. Kol HaMekalkalin Pturin, without any exception, including Chovel U'Mavir. But then the Tosfos Rid points out, and this we've already gotten a preview of this from Rashi, that there are other Stam Mishnas also that are anonymous and don't have a name of an author, it seemed to indicate the opposite, that you could be chayav from a locha even though it's for kalkel. One Mishnah is chovel, right? He injured his friend and he's chayav misa on Shabbos. Mavir, he burnt down his friend's haystack and he's chayav misa on Shabbos. Now, we have a serious problem because we have one Stam Mishnah and another Stam Mishnah, if you follow my point. Alright. Now, the Tosfos Rid makes the following comment. He says the following. That normally, if not for the Mishnais in Bava Kama about Nezikin, about damaging someone, I would have assumed, and this I think Ben touches on maybe your question of before, that Mavir is not a Mekalkel. And Chovel is not a Mekalkel. Flip side, that Mavir is Metaken, and Chovel is Metaken. Says the Tosfos Rid, I'm burning something down. How can you call that Tikkun? I'm killing something, right? And taking his blood out. How can you call that a tikkun? Says the Tosfos Rid, he's got to cook his supper and he needs a fire. He's in the dark and he needs light. He's in the cold and he needs heat. So he lights a fire for any of those purposes. That is considered metaken. So if not for the Mishnah in Bava Kama, if I only had our Mishnah here in Shabbos Kufay Kol HaMekalkel in Pturim, which would indicate that even Chovel Mavir requires Tikkun in order to be Chayav, I would have said that Mavir is a case where he's lighting a fire either to cook his lunch, his dinner, or to get light in the room, or to warm up the room if it's chilly. What about Chovel? That's a little bit more challenging. So in truth, as I mentioned yesterday, Chovel doesn't appear in the Mishnah in the list of Melachos, but rather what appears in the Mishnah itself? Shochet. Shochet is also Metaken. Why is Shochet Metaken? After all, you're killing the animal. The answer is Shemate lo habasa l'achila. There's no way I can eat the meat without Shechita. However, in a case where I light a fire and I have no constructive purpose, I'm just destroying your haystack, or in the case of Chovel where I have no constructive purpose, I'm just beating the living daylights out of you, in those cases, Rabbi Yochanan would insist, you should be Patur. And why should you be Patur? Because Kol HaMekalkelim Pturim. Now I'd like you to follow the text inside. Now if you have the photocopy that I gave you, it's about line 7 on the left side. You'll see I bolded a few words there.
Yes.
You have that. Okay. The Imtim Tzolomar Mishnah. And if you'll say that the Mishnah is valid, now the way we interpreted before the Tosfos Rid, please keep in mind, is that Rabbi Yochanan is now trying to validate the brisa of Rabbi Avo, of Chutz Min HaChovel Umavir. Chovel b'tzarech l'kalbo, Mavir b'tzarech l'afro. Pirish. Says the Tosfos Rid, Rabbi Yochanan is not trying to salvage the brisa of Rabbi Avo. That makes no sense. Rabbi Yochanan could not tolerate the brisa of Rabbi Avo. He completely rejected it. It's impossible to say that you're chayav in two malachas out of 39 in Chovel Umavir in cases of Mekalkel. Lava milsa de Rabbi Avo Kamar. These words, v'imtim tzolom mishneh, are not meant to describe or relate to the brisa of Rabbi Avo. The masnisin de Rabbi Avo, if you accept the brisa of Rabbi Avo, bevadai bekilkul belitzorech myri. The case of Mavir And Chovel Umavir in the Brisa of Rabbi Avo is pure Kilkul, 100% Kilkul, no Tzorech whatsoever. How do we know this? Midiktani, from the very important word here, the key word, chutz. Chutz means that although the general rule with regard to malachas is makalkel, is patur, but there are two malachas in which makalkel is chayov. Mashma dechovel umavir afal pishe makalkelim heim chayovim. In these two malachas, you're chayov even for makalkel. So it doesn't make any sense that Rabbi Yochanan is going to introduce Tzorech lekalbo or tzorech liofro as an explanation to try to salvage the Brisa Rabbi Avo. The Brisa Rabbi Avo says that these two cases are makalkel, which means they're pure 100% makalkel. How could you be chayev? So Rabbi Yochanan certainly rejected this Brisa of Rabbi Avo. Does everybody have that, Rabbi Osa? Because I can review this over and over and over again because it's so critical to understand the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid is changing the whole pshat in the sugya. That's why I'm so excited about this Tosfos Rid. Because the classical understanding of our sugya is that Rabbi Yochanan is trying to make sense out of the Brisa of Rabbi Avo. Says Tosfos Rid, nay, that's not so. Rabbi Yochanan certainly cannot accept the Brisa of Rabbi Avo because the Brisa of Rabbi Avo is establishing that Chovel Umavir are going to be chayev even if it's makalkel gabur, even if it's totally makalkel. That's something that Rabbi Yochanan could not possibly tolerate. Elohachin perusho. So what are we going to do with this statement in the Gemara? V'yimtim tzalomar mishnah, which means that if you want, I can validate the mishnah. I can explain the mishnah. Hachi perusho. This is what it means. V'yimtim tzalomar. And if you'll come and ask the following question. The Hakama Stami. There are many anonymous Mishnayos Tnan that Chovel Umavir Chayovim Afal Pishe Mekalkalim Diviperek Aviniyachas Akad Tnan Hachovel Bechaver B'Shabbes is Potur. Why is he Potur Midnei Shemis Nidon Benafsha Hamad Likidisho B'Shabbes Potur Benatashlumin? Why Midnei Shemis Nidon Benafsha? V'taima, and what's the reason why in these cases he doesn't pay damages? Mishum Don Kimlei Midrabamine. There it is on the blackboard, on the whiteboard. Which means that if you have two punishments for the same action, you will meet out which punishment, Rabbi Osai?
The more severe
punishment. Excellent. How'd you figure that out? Brilliant. So that's Kimlei Midrabamine. And in this case, he should be punished with what? With a capital skila because of violating the Shabbos. But he's potter because of what? And he's potter from Tashlumin, which is the second punishment he should suffer, because of what? Because of Kimlei B'Derabamine. V'taima, again, Mishum D'Kimlei B'Derabamine, V'Nischai of Misa. And therefore, now we can take by the way, these two Mishnais we've already seen where. We didn't have to wait till the Tosfos Rid.
Rashi
quotes him. But we pointed out that now, with Rashi's erudite scholarship, we have two Mishnayos that contradict Rabbi Yochanan, and both of these Mishnayos reflect or are predicated on the premise that in Chovel Umavi Yechayev even the Chayev for Skila, even though what? Even though it's Makalkel, you burnt down his haystack, you injured him. Is Umay Chazis? Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand. My chazis. Okay, my chazis. That's a beautiful phrase. My chazis. I have to write that down. This whiteboard is going to be very tempting for me. Yes. My chazis. Right? My chazis means, why do you choose this one? Why do you prefer this one?
Example.
Rather than the other one, right? Umay chazis. I love that because this phrase umay chazis appears all over Shas. So it's a very good tool to get used to. Like the Gemara says, somebody puts a gun to your head and he says, kill him or I'll kill you. So the Gemara says, oh, you want to kill him? My chazis. You know, why do you prefer that he should die and you prefer that you should live? Right? That's the famous my chazis. So the Gemara says, so Tosfin, my chos is the samchis ahai that you rely on this one. Which one? The stama of our mission that says kol avakalkul p'turim without exception. Smoch ahani. Why don't you rely on the other stamas, the other anonymous mishnayos that say that you chay for chovel umavre, even though, despite the fact that it is makalkil. Oh, ale Rav Yochanan, hahu chovel d'machayev. Bitzarech ledam lekalbo umavir nami bitzarech leafro. Now wait a second. Rav Yochanan is committed to the position that kolam akalkulim p'turim without exception. On the other hand, he has two mishnayos, and they both assume that in Chovel and Mavir, respectively, Yochayev, even though it's Mekalkil, says Rabbi Yochanan, nay, those two Mishnayos are not talking about a Kilkul Gamur, but rather there's an element of what?
Tikkun.
What's the element of Tikkun? So he's got to feed his dog, and he needs the ashes. Ashes, we all fall down, right? So now he says, the Afal Gav, the Kilkul Maruba Al Hanaso. Now he asks the following question. When you want to gauge whether something is a kilkul or a tikkun, then you should have what we call a balance sheet. You've got assets and you've got deficits, right? Well, let's say, for example, right, you're a dentist. So the client pays you such amount of money for a root canal work, right? But on the other hand, you need a lot of, you know, you have a lot of expenses, right? You have to buy certain materials, right? Yeah. And you got to get some of those Novocaine shots. I don't know what they're up to these days. When I was a kid, it was Novocaine. Again, I always claimed the dentist didn't give me enough. That's why I still wake up in the middle of the night with a chill, because I remember. And then he used to say, oh, it's only two more drills. Can you hack it? Two became 20, you know, at the end of the day. So you have a balance sheet, right? You know, you're going to have to pay for rental, for electricity, and so forth. But hopefully you'll pay more pounds than you spent in order to be able to give them the root canal. Okay. So in any event, if you want to determine in any particular scenario whether it's makalkil or mitaken, you have to really invite all the variables into the equation and decide in the ultimate balance sheet whether it's beneficial or not. So he says the following. Here's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the afal gav de kilkul maruba al hanaaso. You know, it's not a balance here. This is not a seesaw which is leveled out equally. You know, it tips the scale is tipped heavily in one direction, because, you know, it's very nice that you need some ashes, right? But you just burnt down a haystack. You know, the haystack was worth 1,000 shekel. You know, the afer is worth 10 shekel. You know, go into the store and buy yourself a bag of afer for 10 shekel. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, in the case of feeding your dog some blood, okay, but, you know, the doctor bills for the wounds to get that blood is going to by far exceed, unless you have a good kupat chaliv, is going to by far exceed how much you're going to get by being able to feed your dog instead of Gainsburgers. You know, you give him an ounce of blood. Oh, here's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. Ein bekach klum. I don't care. Even though the kilkul is greater than the benefit, it's still called a mitake. I need to focus on one element of tikkun. If I can isolate one element of tikkun in the overall picture, that's called a meleches tikkun. Now why? He says, Kevon shehu miskaven lahanaso. This, my friends, is fascinating. Because, as a general rule, in Hilchos Shabbos, when we introduce the concept of kavana, we're almost always trying to be makil, meaning we're always trying to be more lenient. And we always want to say, look, there's a prerequisite for chiyuv melechah Shabbos, and that is kavana. You know, there's a built-in condition, and chiyuv Shabbos is contingent on hanoh. Now, does everybody see that whenever I talk about an Aveira or an Isur and I add a contingency, that's called a Kula? Is that clear to everyone? Don, you want to write that down? I'm going to just dictate this, and because this is a rule that you're going to have to study over and over again. Whenever we're discussing prohibitions, Isurim, then a condition or a contingency is always by definition a Kula. Why is that so, Ben? Can you expound on that for us? When I add a condition, why is that by definition a kula?
Because you're limiting, and it's not to be applied across the board.
Right, exactly. That if that condition is not fulfilled, we're going to alleviate you of your responsibility. That's called a leniency, a kula. So as soon as I add a condition, for example, if I say you're only chayav in Shabbos when you have kavana, you have to have that intention element, then I'm being lenient. That's my general rule. Any condition I add in Shabbos, or for that matter in any Yisur, is always a kula. Here's the exception to the rule, Rav Osai. You've seen it first, right here, on this page of the Tosfos Rut. Kavana here is a chumra rather than a kula. Why? Because if not for your kavana, how would I have defined this seesaw here, this balance sheet? Would it be Makalkel or would it be Matake? It's not for Kavan. It would be Makalkel. Excellent. Why? Because in the overall balance sheet, with all due respect to the 10 shekels that this Afer is worth, the haystack is worth 100 times more. That's called Kilkel. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, according to Tosfos Rid, and he says, Kavana now makes a chumra. This is wild. It unsettles me because it undermines everything I know about Hilchos Shabbos. You know, requiring kavanah is always a kula, because in the absence of that condition, you're going to be left off the hook. Here, kavanah jacks up the chiyuv. You decided that you want the afer. That makes it into misake.
Because that kavana is a type of tikkun. In a minute, it's a tikkun, it's a constructive act, that's isur.
Right. But that's fascinating, you know, that objectively what we have here is a kilkul. You know, the observer is looking at you and saying, you're nuts. You know, why did you forfeit a gedish, you know, a haystack that's worth 1,000 for the sake of a couple of prutote, you know, a couple of pennies for some afer? You know, I'll get you afer, you know. I'll burn the garbage and I'll get you afer, you know. Certain places in New York City, I mean, you don't have to ask them to burn the garbage. You know, they do. Anyway, whatever. So objectively, we have here watch boil, we have a kilkul. Is everybody with me? Comes along, and I want to read it to you again. The Tosfos Rid in explaining Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Kevan shehu miskaveh lanaso, he comes up with a kavana, is therefore ein zeh mekalkel. But again, in order to convert the what? The kilkul into a tikkun, what do I need?
Kavana.
His kavana. What would it be Shmuel in the absence of his kavana? He's not interested in the afer. He's not interested in feeding his dog the blood. No. Look at the next line. He says, if let's say he doesn't have that need for the afer or for the dam. Right, that's called Eino Tzar Klal. The Eino Miskaven, okay, we drop the requirement, not the requirement, but we drop the fulfillment of the requirement of Kavana, is then Eino El Mekalkel. What he has is pure Kilkel. Now, wait a second. What about the case of Shochet? Now, here's a very issue. I'll be right back. I just want to finish this one point. I need one steak for dinner tonight. Okay? Now I shecht an animal. The animal is worth 1,000. The steak is worth 20. Am I chayev?
What's your kavana?
No. Again, my kavana is to get one steak out of this whole piece of this steer, you know, this whole bull. All I need is one steak.
Yes.
The steak is worth 20 shekels. The bull, yeah, a live bull on the market, you know, if it's a good work animal, is worth 5,000 shekel, and a steak is worth 20 shekel. Am I chayef for such a shechita or not?
Yes.
Everybody together, I need to acquire
yes.
you. Yes, everybody for sure. The Mishnah doesn't tell me that a shochet is a malacha because the meat of the animal is worth more than the live animal. The statement, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you shechted an animal. So the answer is, somebody's going to come along and he's going to say, every shochet is a makalkel. Why? Because it's worth more alive than dead. And he only needs a kezias of basar. Okay, he needs one kezias of meat. That's all he needs. So he's potter, he's a shochet who's potter because it's makalkel. Ridiculous! The answer is, says the Tosfos Reb, because I have kavana for that one kezias, that makes it into a tikkun. So we see clearly that kavana makes it into a tikkun. But let's say he doesn't want to feed himself, he doesn't want to eat even that one kezias. Let's say we kill kugamur. Okay, we have to talk about korea mechamoso. Okay, that's a different case, you know, if he vents his anger. But in general, he does something destructive. And he has nothing, no kavana, then he's potter. So again, Rabbi Osai, if I were to tell you what's the machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan, according to Tosfos Reb, the machlokas does not revolve around rubo kilkul umiut tikun. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that despite the fact that it's rubo kilkul, and I can tip the scale here in the balance sheet in favor of the kilkul, it's more of a kilkul in terms of dollars and cents than it is a tikun. No! Rabbi Yochanan says that that itself would be tikun. Where's the machlokas then? The machlokas is when he doesn't have any kavana, any interest for any hana, any benefit whatsoever. There's a zero on the balance sheet here. So it means the following. According to Rabbi Avo, in the cases of Mavir and Chovel, you're going to be chayav even if there's zero hana, zero kavana. And it's pure kilkul, 100% kilkul. And let's add that Rabbi Avo would quote two Mishnayos in Shas, Stamos, anonymous Mishnayos, to support his position. Comes on Rabbi Yochanan, he says, no. If it's pure kilkul, call out a kalkul of Turin, including Chovel Umavir. Ah, you have two Mishnayos, Vimtim Salomar, you'll ask me, what about Mishnah? Two Mishnayos? Those two Mishnayos are cases which we might be tempted to call them or classify them as kilkul from the broader perspective of objectivity for the spectator, why are you doing such a thing? But from his particular subjective need, he's got a certain element of hanah and kavanah. And even though in the balance sheet his hanah is by far overwhelmed by the kilkul element, it's still called a tikkun. Sure.
I'm having trouble getting that into the two instances. So the guy who lit the Gadish, it's easy for me to imagine, they left out the reason why he lit it, and he lit it intentionally, for right. whatever purpose.
Right.
But the guy who, Chovel B'Chaveiro,
right.
so what we're saying here is, it's intention enough wanting to beat up the other guy, for that to be a Melechet Shabbat.
Right. Let's say, just again, Lisaberta Ozen, as we said, just to make it a little bit more. Let's say, for example, you know, back in the day they had bloodletting, you know?
It's a tolda of shechita, making a
blood. Right. Anytime you remove blood, that's a tolda of shechita. That's called the deals to show.
So basically,
and on that we'll have a Rabbeinu Tam.
A person who beat up another person in a severe manner has done some Isurei Doraita.
Right.
And the fact that he intentionally did the punches makes right. him amazing.
Right. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the scenario is not the way you described it. It's not that he's beating up his friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking blood out of his friend.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, as a result of the fact that his friend was victimized and he lost a lot of blood, you know what I mean? So it's not that he lowered his blood pressure, you know, he's in bad straits. He may need a transfusion, I don't know. But he has to replenish the blood supply. But on the other hand, the person who did so, it wasn't out of anger. It was for the sake of the blood.
Okay.
He needed the blood, so he bloodlet.
Mm-hmm.
and he took the blood, collected it, and he fed it to his daughter. That's how Rabbi Yochanan is learning the Mishnah. Okay. Who has the upper hand here, as you pointed out, Shmuel? Rabbi Avo or Rabbi Yochanan, in terms of that Mishnah? When the Mishnah says that a man was chovil b'chaveiro b'shabbos potur shekein nidon b'nafsho, what's the simple pshat in that Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Avol's pshat or is it Rabbi Yochanan's pshat? No, it's Rabbi Avol, because Rabbi Yochanan is the one who's going to have to stand on his head and say, you know why he took the guy's blood out? Because he had to feed his daughter. That's not the simple pshat.
Rabbi Avol left out because it was kula midravine. So the way we were learning it, we said
no. Not only kimle midravine, Rabbi Yochanan also agrees it's kimle midravine. But Rabbi Avol is saying it's kimle midravine despite the fact that it was pure kilkul.
So I think if we were to approach this mathematically, we had two variables. One is the kavanah intention, the other was the mechanism. If my kavanah is to do tikkun, the mechanism could be kilkul. But because my overriding kavanah is tikkun, then tikkun is going to win the day, and then I'm going to be asr, it's asr malachah. Because the mechanism can be kilkul.
So again, you know, my problem then is I don't know what you mean by mechanism. Because I don't think in those terms. You know, everybody has, that's language, you know, the psychologists spend a lot of time on linguistics. Well, when you say the mechanism, you mean the action?
The action.
Oh, okay. Because that fits into my perspective. You know, the maisa, you know.
A kilkul action in order to have a tikkun. And because it's tikkun, I'm chayv, because it's Shabbos.
Now, what does that sound like in, you know, Shmuel, you may have hinted at this before, I'm not sure. But what does that sound like in terms of the concepts that we've been talking about until now? With a mice itself, with a mice itself. No, but which particular dimension of Malechet Mashev? You know, Malechet Mashev is too broad of a. Exactly, Tzrich L'Gufa. Rabbi Yehuda says the Malechet Mashev is Tzrich L'Gufa's Chayav. So we had, you know, we had the guy who's digging. He's digging a hole. He doesn't need the hole for planting. He needs the dirt. And that was Malach Shen Tzrich L'Guf, which Rabbi Yehuda said Yechayiv. So again, you know, if you look at the mice itself, well, the mice itself should be a preliminary for planting, and that makes it Malachas Choresh, but instead he's not interested in the least in planting. But the answer is, but he has Kavana because he wants to fill up his flower pot with dirt. That's very similar to what you're saying. You know, we look at the mice, and we look at his Kavana, his Hana, his benefit. What was his benefit? Well, he needed to dig up this hole in order to get access to the dirt. That itself changes the nature of the picture. So both in Rabbi Yochanan, and now we see that the Tosus Rid, I'm sorry, both in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, in Malach Shein Tzich L'Gufa, now we see in the Tosus Rid in Rabbi Yochanan, we're seeing that Hana and Kavana L'Hana plays a role in Chumrah. Normally, when I say that the malach has to be done with hana, with a kavana, that's cool. You're just telling me that if he didn't have that kavana, he didn't have that hana, then he's potter. Here we're saying no. He really logically should have been potter because kol hakalchul p'turim. But since he has a hana and since he has a kavana, that makes the malach into a malach. It's fascinating because, you know, all of Shas, it really hinges on one issue. The objective world out there, what we call the Olam HaMaaseh, and that's generated by a cause and effect relationship, right? And then there's something called the Olam HaMachshava, you know, the world of thought, human consciousness. And all of Shas, all of Halach, there's always a, you know, is a tug of war between those two elements. You know, what determines the, in Hilchos Shabbos terms, what determines the Malacha? And Kavzal Tosfos Rid, he says, well, my thought and my intention sets up the malacha as a malacha. The malacha itself, in and of itself, in the world of Maaseh, in the objective world, is limping. You know, it's really low down over here, because who would destroy a haystack, which is worth who knows what, you know, for the sake of a couple of pieces of dirt, you know, of ashes. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It's really Malechus Kilkul. Comes along my intention, my need, my conscious desire to collect this afer, and that makes the Malach into a Malach. Yeah, it's the Gavra who makes the Malach. His intention makes the Malach. Well, let's just finish this up over here. And he says, Sharei Shochet, I'll prove to you that we, even in the balance sheet, you know, we could look at his particular kavana, and that makes the malach into a malach. Afal gav d'lo tzarcha l'kizayis basar. Supposedly he's slaughtering the animal, all he needs is one kizayis. V'shachat shor shavet mana. Mana means 100 zuz. That's a lot of money, right? Because 200 zuz could support a family for a year. So you can imagine how much 100 zuz is worth. Chayev. He needs one kezias of meat. The shor sells for 200 zuz. V'lo yikar makalk. We're not going to consider makalk. There, if you look at Bava Kama, you'll see that Rav Yochanan is very consistent, and he interprets the Mishnah there that he's tzarech le'afro or tzarech le'kal. Aval li'olam heicha delo niskavin le'tzarko klal. If he has no benefit whatsoever, ki im le'kilkul, just to be mekalkul, potter hu, he's exempt.
Even though he's done him the nafshe in cases where he's done.
No, if it's pure kilkul, he'll have to pay compensation. Why? Because he's potter and shabbos. When is he chayav and shabbos, and therefore it's a fact of potter for compensation? That's only when it's not pure kilkul, but rather he needs that kezayis basar, he needs the afer, he needs the da.
Malacha's shabbos have a shear, so if you only need half a kezayis, or I only need a tipa of dung. Where the shear goes in what you're shefting and what you're fogel, or what your kavana for tikkun.
Well,
I only want to
ask a brilliant question. Let me think about that for a second.
Pashas, this goes after that. You're shefting the whole cow. For sure, you're going to be chayiv. But it's a little tough to say you're chayiv if I only need a half a kezias.
Let's think about that for a minute. No, Joseph. The halach of chatzi shir applies not to the purpose or the kavana, but rather to the mice itself. In other words, let's say, for example, if I told you that the shir of shechita would be rov kana and veshet, you know, he has to cut most of the windpipe and the esophagus, you know. So then I would say that chatzi shir is an issue. But if you're dealing with his personal kavana, he happens to need a half a kezias. If he needs a half a kezias, that's what he needs.
Well, even if he needs a mashu, he's already thrown it
in tikkun. This has nothing to do with shiurim. Shiurim is a halacha in the maisa. You know, you ask me what is ksiva, and the answer is you need two osios. You ask me what is hotzah, I need to be motzi grogeris. But if you're asking me what is his personal need that makes this malacha into something constructive and beneficial, there are no dinim of shiurim. Whatever he needs. Now, if on the other hand he needs something that's antithetical to halacha, in other words, he wants to destroy something because he wants to vent his anger, then you get into the whole issue of baltashkes. You know,
if kavana is strong enough to take a destructive act and make it constructive,
Can
it work the other way? Can the kavana be so strong to do something destructive that even a constructive act can be considered kilkul? I mean, work in the opposite direction. And if a constructive act...
I would say for sure, yes. Oh, it's almost a Kal Vachomer. Madoch, if his kavana has the power to take an action which in and of itself is not a malacha, make it into a malacha, how much more so if you have an action where his kavana is l'shem kilkul...
Bona. How do you do bona l'shem kilkul?
I'm saying, if let's say you can envision...
Have to work at every malacha.
What do you say? In other words, again, you'd have to... I don't know if you have a case in mind. I don't know if I have the time right now to think up a case, but Beli Neder will think up a case. But if his intention through this Misa is kilkul...
Even though it's a constructive act?
Even though it's a constructive act, he's interested in kilkul. That machshava certainly makes it into a makalk. That's what I would say.
And therefore, Pater and Shabbos.
And therefore, he'd be Pater. Now, the next piece in the Tosis Rin is very challenging. Here's the deal. If we assume, A, that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda about Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Chayel, and that's why there's so much weight and so much significance to his Machshova and his Hanah that he gets benefit from. Then the classical case of Rabbi Yehuda, Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, is where he digs a hole and he only needs the dirt. The Gemara says, as we'll soon see quoted by the Tosfos Rin, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if he digs a hole and he only needs the dirt, he's potter. What? How can the Gemara make that statement? The whole principle of Rabbi Yehuda is that Moshe and Sukh Laguf is chayav. How can you tell me if he digs the hole and he only needs the dirt, he's potter? The Gemara says, Moda Rabbi Yehuda v'makalke. The Rabbi Yehuda's Moda that it's a kilkul. Now wait a second. We just finished saying that in the case of Chovel, he needs it. He needs the blood for his dog. In the case of Mavir, he needs the ashes, and therefore it's considered a metaken because he has that hanor, he has that intention. Now he's digging a hole. He needs the hole because he's got to get the dirt. And he has intention for the dirt. That's his benefit. So why do you call that a makalkel? The Gemara says, "Mother of Yehuda." Then he's pot. So the Tosfos Rit says something here which is very challenging. I'm gonna have you put this into your lab and try to investigate it and see if you can tell me what he means. Veraisi Makshim. Again, I don't know if you can find those words.
Right.
Yeah. But Veraisi Makshim. You know, the trouble with this photocopy is that, you know, unless you put on the lines of bolds, you know, it's very hard to. So if you can find the line, which is like smack in the middle of the page, that starts with the word Lekamad, I don't know if that helps at all. But anyway, we're in the middle of the page. And you shift towards the end of that line. It says, Veraisi Makshim. And how many people, just by show of hands, can find Veraisi Makshim? Oh, okay, we're doing pretty good. Rabbi Abba, the Omar. Now, Rabbi Abba, this is Rabbi Abba. This Rabbi Abba is not to be confused with Rabbi Abba, who? Okay. Rabbi Abba, the Omar Beperek Klal Gadol. Okay, this is a sugya on Daf Ayin Gimel on the base, if you want to write that in with your pen. Ayin Gimel on the base, 73b. Hachofer Guma. He digs a hole. The ain't sarach eli afra. He only needs the dirt. Potter ale. Now please underline the next three words. Afilu Rabbi Yehuda. What is going on over here? Rabbi Yehuda was the one who maintained that Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Chayim. And the Gemara answers, the Choshev Le Mekalkel. He's considered a kilkul. Wait a minute. This undermines our whole theory. We said that if he needs this Malacha, even if in objective terms it's a kilkul, it's a tikkun because he needs it. He needs to dig the hole in order to get the dirt out. And if that be the case, despite the fact that he needs the dirt, you're still going to classify as what? As makalkel? Is eichis chayv b'chovel umavir? What are you telling me, Rabbi Yochanan, that in chovel umavir, the reason why you're chayv is because you need the blood, you need the ashes? Halo makalkel hu, kamo beguma. Da'ai ditzorch lekalbo v'tzorch liafro. It's just like to the same extent that in those two cases he needs the blood for his dog, he needs the ashes. Is there this guy who tzarch liafro? He needs the dirt. The hirba bazed dvarim b'teiv v'lo kasha v'lo mid. The whole thing, says the Tosfos Rid, of this yesh makshim, reisi makshim, is all dvarim b'teiv v'lo kasha v'lo mid.
What's
it's all meanings. Which, it's all worthless.
Why does he
worthless?
Why does he brings it just like a straw man argument to bring it and say it's worthless?
Well, no, he's going to then explain why it's worthless. But I just wanted to take a pause here for drama, for dramatic purposes, and say if that's called Dvarim B'Teilim, then you're going to have to put me out to pasture. Because I think this is the most brilliant question, the most fundamental question I've ever seen. There's a perfect parallel here, Rabos. I don't know why he calls it Dvarim B'Teilim. Why is he making fun of this?
It don't make sense.
He's only saying
the
dirt.
Look at the parallel. I burn someone's haystack because I need the ether. I'm chayef, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not makalkel. Rabbi Yochanan says it's metake. Right? I wound somebody to get the blood because I need the blood for my dog. I dig a hole because I need the dirt. They're all the same. why does he call this Dvarim B'Teilim?
Just the dirt, he's saying. Only this example of this.
He's saying the following. I understand full well what Rabbi Abba says in Shabbos, in Gimel and Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda is moder if he digs a hole and he only needs the dirt, that he's potter. Why? Because that's called Makalka, but he needs the dirt. But it's Makalka. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees. We just finished saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's where Rabbi Yochanan was building on. If you need the Afer, you need the Dam, that's called a Meleches Tikkun, and it's not a Makalka Yechayev. What is the difference between the two?
Maybe it's monetary value. Dirt has no monetary value.
Dirt has no value. I don't know. If it's good dirt, you know, then and you could plant a flower in it. You know, if you have a flower pot, I don't know what they put in. It's called an utzit in the Gemara's language.
It's not the melecha.
So he gives an answer here, Rabbo, saying, here I have to send you back to the base message because I don't have a clue what his answer is. He says the following. He says, "Lo kasha v'lo midi." You may want to underline that just so you'll find a marker where I want you to put your emphasis here. The hasam over there, chafiras haguma, when he digs a hole, ain't a malacha. That for sure is not a malacha. And even Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to agree. Why? The lo avi malacha ella habone v'hachorish. V'im chafar guma v'bayis v'tzarech lo chayv mishum bone. Right, let's say I want to put up a pillar in my house. And my wife's an interior designer. She's always removing pillars. But let's say for some reason you want to build a pillar in your... So you have to dig down a hole in the ground and then put the pillar in, right? Maybe it's a... what's it called in engineering terms? A...
A supporting
beam, right? So you need a supporting beam. So you dig a hole so that the beam will be supported. That's called Meleches Bonim. Fine. Then he says, Ubisada, but well, it's not inside your house, it's out in the field, and you're digging a hole. Why are you digging a hole? Mishum Choresh, because you want to plow the land in order to plant the land. Okay, so in those two cases, he's going to be potur if he only needs the dirt. Aval, im eino tzarech lo bebeso, he doesn't need it in his house. Ein zeh bonim. And I guess if he doesn't need it in his field because he's not planting, ein zeh chorish. U'mishum ha'achi potter. D'lo avid malach. D'lo ka'avid malach. Those are the key four words here. In those cases, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he needs the dirt, but lo ka'avid malach. He's not engaged in the malach. Aval hacha, but here in the case of Chovil Mavir, where he needs it either for the blood for his dog or for the Afer, he malacha. Period. End of paragraph. So I read this about 30 times over and over again. I couldn't figure it out. So if somebody could figure that one out, I'll be very appreciative. So Rabos, I see it's already time to break. Again, my goal is that for those who can stay for the balance of the morning, and I hope you all can, but whoever can, to break down into chavrusas. Ideally, chavrusas one-on-one, that means two people in a chavrusa. At the beginning of the Zman, obviously it's hard to expect that we have definite chavrusas. It takes a while till that whole chavrus situation develops. So I don't mind, I'm not going to make a big deal about it, but we have to know what the ideal is and the goal is, the Hanah and the Kavana is ultimately to have Chavrusas made up of two people. Now, what I want you to do during Chavrusa time is the following. Go through the Tosus read again, and then I want you to learn a Sugyan Beitza. And Tzvi, maybe I would ask you to help me with the photocopying. There are three pages you'll have to photocopy in Beitza. One of them, it's just the bottom line, but I can't leave it out. We have to photocopy because it's one line we need. We have no choice. So Tzvi, if you can make a note of it, I need Beitza dot Beis Amud Aleph. That's pretty easy, the first page in the Masechta. Okay, then I have to fast forward to Beitza dot Zion. Okay, let me just show you where this is. Dot Zion Amud Beis. And of Ches Amud Aleph. Okay? So that's Bet Amud Aleph, Zayin Amud Bet, and Chet Amud Aleph. Okay then? So, and Chet Amud Aleph. Right? So it's, let's call it 2A, 7B and 8A. Okay, then see, so I'm going to pass the baton over to you if that's okay with you. Because I got to prepare my Kumash class for today. I have something wonderful on the parsha of Kan Sipur. You know, in this week's parsha, this coming Shabbat, which is my grandson's bar mitzvah, Mr. Shem, I won't be here, I'll be in Modi'in. So the parsha is that you see a mother bird and it's hovering over its fledglings. You want to take the fledglings, you have to shoo away the mother bird. It's a very strange kind of mitzvah. But I have a piece that I want to study with you today that's absolutely magnificent from Rav Zalman Sarutsky. He was Rosh Yeshiva in Telz. And he has a book called Oznaim LaTorah. It's marvelous. I mean, I'm still shaking from it. It's so overwhelming. Okay, then we'll stop here.
Thank you.